On the line, I have Tony O'Reilly, co-author of Tony 10 and an addiction counsellor with Coon Wirra. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form. Tony, recently just published the book Tony 10 with, I'm trying to think of his name, your co-author.
Declan Lynch,
and he's a journalist with the Sunday Independent. And we actually covered the launch of that, and we played a piece here. But what we're going to talk to you about today is about addiction counselling. Maybe could you tell us a little about addiction counselling?
Addiction counselling, in my experience of it, I would have gone through Coon Wirra myself in 2011. For my gambling addiction, and that would be my first experience of any type of counselling. And I suppose addiction counselling for me would be specialised in certain ways, in that you probably need to have an understanding of addiction in all its shapes and forms and how it affects the person, and probably having an understanding and even empathy towards some of the things that people do while in addiction. Like even in my own addiction, I would have done things today I would have never dreamed of doing yesterday to fuel the addiction. I think part of it is, for my kind of recovery in it as well, would be that I would have to see that who I believe I am as a person is not who I am in addiction. So it, I think it is a little more specialised than generic counselling. But I suppose it's about working with underlying issues as well. Like I think addiction is escapism from various forms of underlying issues that we might deal with in day-to-day lives. And I think for me, gambling was my escape from the pain that life experiences and life situations was bringing up within me.
And of course, the thing we have to recognise about addiction, I know it's a great saying in Coon Wirra, is that I can't change anybody else but myself. So you've got to want to change for it to have any success.
Yeah, that is always like in any of my work, I suppose, that I would do with people in addiction, there has to be that want to change. There has to be acceptance that this is something that you can never do again. You have to learn new ways of coping with things that come up in your life. There has to be responsibility for your actions in addiction. And then it's just about building up relationships. But it is definitely, it's something that you have to really want yourself. And sometimes it takes people to go to that rock bottom place that you often hear about. But I read a great quote there last week that, you know, rock bottom is a great foundation for a new beginning if you do go to that place, because it's a solid foundation to go. And that's where I went in my addiction. I went to the rock bottom, and from there, coming through Coon Wirra and the support that I got within the organisation, and I'll tell you, I was able to rebuild myself and reinvent myself. But the biggest thing was that I wanted to change. I wanted to have a better life for myself, one that wasn't in addiction.
I know, and through my own limited experience, that seems to be the way in most cases, that people really do have to hit rock bottom to get to that place where they want to change. Now, I'm sure there are cases when where people can, at some stage, you know, where they're not that bad, can realise that they need to change. But in most cases, it seems to be you have to really hit the bottom of the barrel before you can actually get into that place that you're fully committed to changing.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's often the case. And there is examples of people who haven't got that place. They just kind of, something clicks in them and they say, no, I just don't want to do this anymore, and they seek support for it. But unfortunately, it is the case as the rock bottom. And that's to do with cognitions for me, especially with gambling addiction, where I would be kind of more specialised and know more about, I suppose, that part of the problem with a gambling addiction is that you think you can gamble your way out of the problem. You might necessarily be able to drink your way out of an alcohol problem, But in gambling, it's about cognition as part of. I do a model of it, of like the fire triangle. When you need heat, oxygen, and material for a fire to occur, I have a kind of a model where it's a gambling triangle, where money would obviously be one of the elements. You'd have time and cognitions, and unfortunately, with it, that you often do believe, because you may have had that big win before, that €10 that you turn into €100 or any kind of amount, you do believe that you still can go back and do it differently. And that's the same with all addictions, really, like it with anyone I've kind of would have talked to who relapsed, there would be that the belief they could go back to social drinking. And I think that's where the problem lies, that it's people believe that they can go back to where they were before the addiction took grip. And that's definitely the case in the gambling addiction, because it's you do believe that you can win because you have evidence there to suggest that you won big before, so you have this belief. And in that triangle, if the three things are there, like you've cognitions about your gambling addiction, you have time, if you've, you know, excess time on your hands, and if you have the access to money, once the three elements are there, then you're in kind of trouble, because you lose control. So I think for me, when you're working with anyone with the gambling addiction, it's about looking at each of them elements, their cognitions, their filling up their time in their day, and even, you know, their relationship with money. And if you can kind of hit them three elements, the person can get really a good insight into themselves and their behaviour and addiction. But it's the same with all addictions, is that belief that you can go back to a place where you were before with it.
We all hear of, you know, with alcohol addiction and drug addiction, people go into detox to clear it out of their system before they really start to go through the treatment process, shall we say. First thing, you have to drain it out of your system. What's the way for gambling addiction? When you go into a treatment centre, do you go to a form of detox?
In Coomber, I went through a detox. We were on the same program as the alcohol addiction. And there is a form of detox, because there's heightened levels of adrenaline for a long period of time. And the adrenaline levels they're unhealthy if you're in a heightened state of adrenaline for too long. So it's about that level coming down. And a lot of it, since gambling is a behavioural addiction, it's about the head would be very much racing. You'd be kind of probably have 20, 30 thoughts going in your head at any one time. Sister Susan in Coomber always used the analogy of a person with an alcohol problem, their head is like a washing machine, it's constant spin cycle of playing out scenarios and thinking about relationships, things. But in a gambler's mind, it's nearly like a spin dryer, that it's going that nearly 10 times faster. And I think it's about the detox element of it, is giving yourself space to kind of clear the head, slow down the thinking, so that you're in a proper place to really take on the program and take on what is asked of you in the program, whether that be meetings or work duties or recreation or spiritual level, that you're in a place where you're very much open to all this, because there's so much turmoil in any addiction that you've left behind when you're in treatment, that you have to nearly separate yourself from that for a while. And that's the element of going into treatment, in that you're separating yourself from and breaking that cycle and giving yourself a space or a break away from it. But I suppose with gambling, in my experience of it, there's so much carnage or damage I've left behind, you're nearly always thinking about it. I mean, like, you're still trying to fix, you're thinking about all the stuff, all the damage you've caused, all the relationships you've hurt. So it's about getting that time away. That's what the detox is. And I suppose, to be honest, even though the detox in a tie for me was just under a week, it wasn't until about 4 or 5 weeks that my thinking in my head really slowed down, and that I fully started to participate in the program, my head was just so busy with everything that was going on. But once I did get that break away from it, I was able to throw myself fully into the program.
I know I've heard Sister Concilio speak a number of times about getting out of your head, and, you know, this thing of mindfulness, getting out of your head and living through your soul, living at the moment, and not be the head racing ahead and thinking of all the different scenarios, and this could happen, that could happen, I could do this, I could do that. Just live today, live this moment, because you'll never Well, you can only live in this moment, isn't that correct?
Exactly, totally agree. But it's about getting to that point where you see that and where you see each day as a gift. As I know that she talks very much about having each day as a gift and each moment as a gift and each thing that you take on as a gift. And I suppose for me, when I had to serve a prison sentence due to my addiction, and there was one kind of line or mantra that kind of kept me going. It was what good thing will come of this. So I kind of look at every situation in a positive light, or what good can come of it, not necessarily looking at anything that happens as a bad thing. And you do, for that to happen, you do have to just stay in the moment, nearly believe that this is the best possible thing that's happening for the moment, and open yourself to living from a soul level, not a head level, because from a soul level it's just a totally different way of living. And that's what mindfulness is. It's about coming down out of your head and relaxing so that you can really get in touch with your soul and come out of the head, because the head is a dangerous place in addiction, because as you said, you think about scenarios that have happened, you think about things that are coming down the line, and I needed to do that because I knew what was going to come down the line. I knew there was going to be consequences for my actions in addiction, and I accepted that, and I knew I had left a lot of damage in the past, and if I wasn't able to be fully present in the moment, I'd relapse, because I have to fully believe that, you know, I have to live in the moment. And I do each morning I get up, I plan out the day to ensure that I do everything possible that I can to ensure that that's a day that I don't go back gambling. And that's about living in each day, and not, you know, you obviously have to have kind of plans for the future, but I tend to kind of build on my plans by doing something each day to achieve the plans, if that kind of all makes sense. But I don't tend to look back at all the stuff that I've done. Sister Susan always said in the Thai as well, you have to get to a place of a peaceful regret, where you look back at stuff and all the kind of harm and damage and hurt you've caused in addiction, and try and make amends in as much as you can, but look back with a peaceful regret of where you were in your addiction, because if you don't, that will bring you back, because that brings back up all the shame and guilt, and then these are very strong emotions, and if we're not in a good place in our daily lives, the guilt and the shame can be consuming, and we go back to old ways of dealing with that then, or we can go back to old ways, you know, unless we learn new ways.
And of course, you can't change the past. That's the past is the past.
No.
So
exactly.
Move on, as they say.
Exactly. What I had to do was accept that this, I made a huge mistake in my life. I paid the consequences for it. Accept that it did have an effect on people. Try and make amends in as much as I can with anyone I hurt. And you have to kind of nearly move on from it at that stage in as much as you can. Like, there is times like I get ridden with shame and guilt for what I've done, but I can't change that, as you said. I just have to accept that it's something that, you know, I did take full responsibility for, but it wasn't who I believe I am as a person while I was in that addictive act. And it's not that I'm blaming the addiction for what I've done, but I suppose for me it's that when I was in the cycle of it, I couldn't feel I could ask for help. I was afraid. I had a bit of ego, maybe arrogance stopped me from asking for help, because I did believe, again going back to cognition, I did believe that I could gamble my way out without asking for help. But now I know that that's not the way forward. The way forward for me is if I am struggling, is to reach out to people to talk about things.
And I think for anybody out there who is going through addiction at the moment, or their families, to say there is help out there, and Coonwirra is the largest, I think, provider of residential care for people in addiction. Can you maybe tell us a bit about the Coonwirra group?
In the treatment, is it?
In the treatment.
Or the actual group?
Of the group, you know, how big are they? How much is out there? Where are they placed?
Said, they are the biggest provides a residential treatment in the country. There's over 600 beds. They have transitional houses in Dublin, that's where I'm based, and in Limerick, in Cork. They have centres in Athy, Newry, Limerick, Galway, and
of course there's the residential house in Ballybay in
exactly,
Monaghan.
Yeah, there's the, it's a, it's a absolutely amazing organisation. And the biggest thing I think that really I got from it, that I was accepted for who I was when I arrived through the doors. It was, there was no judgment. All I felt was love and empathy, and I was seen as the person, not as the addiction. I think that was the biggest part of it. And again, for anyone that is struggling or any families, it's just about making an initial phone call and reaching out. And once you do that, especially someone who's suffering themselves, I suppose that it's that phone call, is reaching out and ringing one of the centres and just saying, listen, I need some help here. And it's all done confidentially and in a very nice way, I suppose is the best way of putting it. I arrived to the doors in Matthijs 7 years ago this July, thinking that my life as I knew it was over. I knew I was going to go to prison for what I'd done. But I got hope when I arrived through the doors. I was, that's the one thing I felt. I felt the acceptance and the hope. And even when I felt at the time there was no hope, there was, I felt that someone, members of staff, Sister Consilio, everyone kind of carried that hope for me until I was able to find it within myself. And I think that's what I got from it. And it helped me rebuild and reinvent myself and rebuild my life. And only for it, I wouldn't be here. Only for Coonwirra, I wouldn't be here.
And I believe the Coonwirra have lodged a planning application down in Athy for a female-only unit, a new unit there, which will actually cater for mothers and babies in it as well. And I know that's only going through the planning process, and you're probably not in a position to talk about it just yet. But that's great.
But it is brilliant. And what it does then, obviously, it creates more beds in the main house in Athy, which is brilliant news for anyone suffering from addiction, because there's more help out there, there's more opportunities to get in. Because it just shows the nature of addiction in this country, and that the centres are nearly always full. There's nearly always people waiting to get in for help and for treatment. And it's an amazing organisation that provides amazing service to people. And it's brilliant that they're, if it is with the mothers and children, it's a brilliant initiative to help keep that bond that can be broken through addiction and help repair relationships, because that's the biggest thing, the hardest thing I found even since treatment, is repairing relationships that you've damaged through addiction. And anything that helps in that has to be seen as hugely positive.
And of course, Coonwirra don't only deal with the treatment of the of addiction. They then also have, as you said, they have the transition houses helping people get back into independent living. But also then they provide aftercare services for people. And then there's the other, I won't call new initiative, but reasonably new initiative, the Friends of Coonwirra, which she wishes to open kind of in every town across the country. And I think there's about 12 or 15 of the Friends of Coonwirra sites open now. But if somebody wants to are in need of support, can they make contact with Coonwirra?
To make contact through any of the centres, and just they will get talking to someone who can help. And it really is, it's as easy as that, really. You know, it's just the hardest part is making the call. Once you make that call, once they ring any of the centres, and they will be put in touch with someone who can help.
And you can get those numbers on www.coonwirra.ie, that's CoonwirraE.ie. Tony, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us. And I believe you're going to be on the telly on Monday night, is that correct?
Yeah, Baz from 50 Ways to Kill Your Mother has done a documentary on gambling addiction, and he's talked to a lot of relevant people in the field. And I was asked to do a kind of story of my experience of gambling addiction. We went up to Carrickfergus to film, which brought up a lot for myself. But it looks like a really good insight into what is a growing problem in Ireland. So that's on at 9:30 RT on Monday night, RT1 on Monday night. She'll give a good insight into gambling addiction, because as it's a huge growing problem in Ireland, that we are on per capita, we are the highest online losers in the world per capita. So it is a hugely growing problem, and something that needs to be highlighted and talked about a little bit more. And hopefully the program will help to achieve that. On them, as was my hope with telling my story in the book with Declan, was always that it might highlight the actual gambling problem we have in Ireland, and how a relatively small bet can turn into something that ends up with a prison sentence and loss of so much of all good things in my life, I suppose.
Tony 10 is the name of the book, and that is available, as they say, in all good bookstores. Tony, thanks very much for chatting to me today. All the best.
Thank you very much, Michael. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.